Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we meditate on your word together this morning, please open our hearts and minds that through it we will draw closer to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. About a year ago, I got lost on Whitley Common. I used to walk there a lot, and you wouldn't think you could get lost there because it's really not that big an area, and it's bounded on all four sides by main roads. That's why I like to walk there, because I couldn't get lost. But apparently I was wrong. With a little bit of not paying attention, it was surprisingly easy to find oneself in a part of the common that one has never seen before. And whilst I was spending an unforeseen hour casting about for a vaguely familiar tree or a path that might take me back to the car park, I phoned my sister in Leeds. I thought it would give her a laugh. I don't know how to make it stop spitting. Okay. I thought it would give her a laugh to hear how I was spending my morning. It didn't. She was horrified. She put a GPS tracker on me. She made me hook my mobile phone up to hers using one of those locator apps that parents use to track where their children are. And now she knows where I am every single minute of every day. I am not a child. However, it keeps her happy, so, you know, who am I to grumble? And the thing is, we don't like losing things, do we? It's irritating. It can be absolutely calamitous. Losing your house keys, losing your car keys, losing the whole car in a large car park. It can happen, trust me. Or your passport just before you go on holiday. I've never done that. Or your child in the supermarket. I have done that. If we don't like it, think how our Heavenly Father feels about losing a single one of his precious creation. Sin cuts us off from God. Unrepented sin makes people lost to God. And God loves each one of his children so much and wants each one of them to experience his love, grace, and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The Father desires that each one should be free of the chains that sin puts on them, to be all that he designed, enjoying their faith and new life in him, producing fruitfulness for the kingdom and satisfaction in their own lives. This is the reason for the cross. If the upright beam reaches up from the earth to God's holiness, the cross beam declares the width of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Not for God so loved the Jews or the Gentiles, or for God so loved the thin or the clever or the sober. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Paul's letter to the Romans. Now the Pharisees grumbled because Jesus, who claimed to have a closer relationship with God than they did, spent time with persons that they classed as sinners. How could he claim to be righteous and yet associate with such unworthy persons as tax collectors, prostitutes, and other Jews who didn't keep the laws of Moses, who had gone away from God and were quite clearly lost to him? But Jesus said, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Sin cuts us off from God. Unrepented sin makes people lost to God. And the lost matter to God. And if we are truly followers of Jesus Christ, than they ought to matter to us. So who were the sinners, the lost, that Jesus came to call, whose repentance would cause such joy in heaven? We've heard the parable of the prodigal son, who rejected his family and his home, where he knew he was loved and valued, and went off believing that he could lead his own life much better on his own terms, without his father. But Jesus told two other parables at the same time, illustrating this mission to call back the lost, about a sheep and a coin. And in all three stories, what matters is not the mistakes of the protagonists, but the fact that they were lost. The sheep, one among 100, gets distracted by the charms of the world around him and wanders away from the flock and doesn't even realize he is lost until he discovers he can't see the shepherd anymore and he doesn't know how to get back. The coin, a single coin from a pile of 10 coins, somehow becomes separated from the other coins, rolls off the table and falls into a dark corner away from the light, lost to sight. How does God handle these lost souls? Well, the shepherd doesn't shrug his shoulders and blame the sheep for being stupid. He leaves the 99 other sheep in the flock and goes looking for the lost sheep. And when he finds him, he puts him on his shoulders and carries him home rejoicing. And the woman whose coin is lost doesn't write off the loss as being of no great value anyway. She shines a lamp in every dark corner and turns the house upside down until she finds it. And when she does find it, she calls her neighbours to share her joy in finding the lost coin. The father whose son has gone off on his own doesn't dwell on his son's ingratitude. He watches day after day for his son to come home. And when he does, he rushes out to meet him with his arms open wide. The lost matter to God. And Jesus came to call the lost back to him. So they ought to matter to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. But the trick is, how do we identify the lost in our own world? Being a tax collector, working for HM Revenue and Customs, is quite a respectable occupation these days and is no longer a guarantee of a lost soul. Outward appearances are not a reliable sign. Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view." The Bible doesn't define sin as exclusively applicable to perverts, criminals, tyrants, and the like. To be sinful is to fall short of the glory of God, and we all do that. Sin cuts us off from God. Unrepented sin is what makes us lost to God. So do we know any lost sheep? People who've been seduced by the charms of this world into thinking that this world is all that matters, into living as though they have no home in heaven and this is all the life there is. And do not repent of their sins because they've forgotten all about their loving shepherd. Do we know any lost coins? People who, perhaps because of personal trouble or tragedy, have fallen into a very dark place and have lost all sense of meaning and purpose in their lives because they believe that God has abandoned them, that he doesn't love them. Do we know any prodigal sons or daughters? People who are so sure that they can live their lives so much better without any help from God, so that they have deliberately turned their backs on him. Do we know anybody like that? And if we find them, how do we handle them? What did Jesus do? He made himself available, didn't he? He didn't stay in heaven, where he was nice and safe and comfortable. He went about among the people, talking to them, to anyone who wanted to spend time with him, whoever they were, saint or sinner. Luke records the time Jesus had dinner with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, because Zacchaeus wanted to get to know him. And the time he allowed the prostitute to anoint his feet. And the time he saved the thief who was dying on the cross next to him. And even though the Pharisees were, by and large, completely snotty towards him, when Nicodemus came to Jesus genuinely seeking enlightenment, Jesus took time to talk to him as well. And he didn't condemn any who came to him. He demonstrated God's love for all in compassionate acts of forgiveness and healing. He responded generously to all without finding fault. The thing he didn't do, and this is an important point for us to recognize, was come into town with a battering ram on his shoulder. Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." So the issue for us is not that we need to fill up our churches with more people in any way we can in order to reverse the decline in church membership, but that we need to find a way to share the good news we claim to believe in. It is true that the first calling of Christians is to foster reconciliation with God. Our Saviour and Lord has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. However, establishing good relations with people first earns us the right then to ask them about their relations with God. God himself gets as close as he can without forcing himself on the lost. One thing to notice about the story of the prodigal son is that the prodigal son left his father intentionally. The sheep got lost innocently. The coin was lost through circumstance. But the prodigal son made a deliberate choice, and his father didn't go looking for him. He respected the path he chose to follow, only waiting patiently, lovingly, for him to return, to be ready to be reconciled. At Calvary, both criminals impaled on their crosses on either side of Jesus had the same opportunity to repent and seek reconciliation. Only one of them did. The other rejected the opportunity. And Jesus respected the choice of each. The fact is, we're all sinners, all lost, but we have been found. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. To us, the message of reconciliation has been committed. Jesus paid the price for us to be saved out of love and compassion, and he asks that we, having received his compassion, should pass it on to others by modeling his love, compassion, generosity, and kindness in the way that we ourselves behave, so that we may be highly regarded by the people. Not by thrusting his message down people's throats, but by being alongside them, whoever they may be, listening to them, not condemning them. After all, which of us is without sin and therefore in a position to look down our noses at anyone? Jesus was without sin and he didn't do that. He responded generously to all without finding fault, showing them the fruits of the Spirit, the same compassion and generosity that we ourselves have been shown. How can we say no? As we go out from this place this morning, as we go about our business in the week ahead. We who have received Christ's compassion, who are called to be Christ's ambassadors, how can we not take the opportunities that God presents to us to get alongside anyone that God brings to us? In case they may be a lost soul, in case a smile, a word, a listening ear, kindness, compassion, generosity is what is needed at that moment to bring someone, even the most unlikely person, who is lost, to be reconciled to God. Amen.